Alright, welcome back to another exciting adventure on the best in paranormal talk radio right here on Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallward. This is my, did I already say Radio Wasteland? Doubling it up, getting it in there. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Come on, man. We're professionals.
I know. I'm sorry. I should have been ready.
All right, Kara. Do you got any news for us or what?
Yes, I do. This is always a hard week to find news because there are so many April Fool's articles on the internet this time of year. And given the type of news I deal with, that's not always obvious which ones are jokes.
Right.
But first, I do want to reassure everyone the Roswell Festival is set to happen this year in July. Last year, the festival was canceled due to coronavirus, but this year they appear confident that they can put on the festival safely. It makes up a significant amount of the business that the small New Mexico town sees, bringing in more than $1 million of revenue over the course of the weekend. Scientists have created programmable living machines that have memories of a sort and are able to assemble themselves into complex shapes and work as a swarm to interact with objects. These microscopic xenobots are composed of frog cells and are the newest iteration of a new class of organic robot that may one day revolutionize healthcare. Potential applications that may be closer in time include cleaning up microplastics in soil. And finally, French police have been investigating an international ring of Lego-stealing toy thieves. In one case, three suspects were spotted stealing Legos from a Parisian toy store with the intent of selling them in Poland. Similar crimes occurred in Oregon last month after a U.S. man stole $7,500 worth of Lego sets. Some Lego sets are limited editions, which has led to a thriving black market for collectors. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right, the Roswell Festival. We wanted to go to this. We wanted to go to this since the beginning.
We did, and it was canceled.
I don't see it happening this year. There's just too much going on, too much to catch up with. If anybody out there is like me, I assume that while you did hold on through the last, actually, I've been very lucky this year. Mm. A lot of people went through a lot worse hardships than I did financially. Luckily, I had some very committed clients, clients who were able to work throughout the year, and I got really lucky. But at the same time, I didn't get so lucky that I'm just picking it up from where I left off. I got a lot to do still, but I want to go to this thing. I wonder if our buddy William is going to go to this because he goes every year. In fact, I think he went to the last one.
Yeah, well, as of right now, they're saying they're going to have it. Of course, last year, they were also saying they were going to have it at this time. But I actually think it's, like, here in Washington, the vaccine is going to be available to everyone, like, in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of, like, whether supplies hold up in your area. I'm in a very populated area, so who knows when I'll be able to get it, but certainly before July, I imagine sometime in the next month or two, I'll be able to get it. So, you know, I don't know that I expect it'll definitely be smaller just because, you know, people have less cash on hand, but I'll,
right.
But I imagine it,
you know, the
possible,
the conspiracy community tends to lean a little conspiratory. So the vaccine might not.
That's true. That's true.
I did get my vaccine. I got my vaccine last week.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, the Roswell Festival isn't just for, like, conspiracy types, though. It's a big tourist thing. Big for, you know, Roswell is a super tiny.
It's all relative. Right. Yeah. Right.
Right. It's, like, way out in the desert. And the Roswell Festival is kind of the thing that they do. But I think a lot of people come to that are just like, you know, who live in the Southwest and just want to attend something fun. You
know? Well, I'm most happy. I'm happy about getting the vaccine for two reasons. I get to go on with my life. I get to see my kids more often, so on and so forth. Also, I get to not hear my wife research the possible side effects of the vaccine any longer. which for the past week up until this thing, every day, all day, has been discussing the possible side effects and researching the side effects of vaccines. It has been insane. But I'm glad it's over. We got the J&J. If anybody's interested in what happened to us, well, keep wondering because I'm sick of talking about it.
Yeah, from the waist down, we can't see on the video, but he's actually a centaur now.
Yeah, so. Yeah, totally. Centaur with four octopus legs.
Yeah, exactly. So just pushes around on the legs.
Programmable living machines. This is a wild one. The word swarm makes me uncomfortable. Organic robot makes me uncomfortable. And then the term living, I think, is pretty vague. You know, because living, I think, can really just be defined as takes energy and uses energy to procreate. I mean,
these are made of cells that are alive. So it's, I think in this case, living is not even particularly ambiguous. You know, it's like, is a virus alive? You know, that's kind of ambiguous. These are eukaryotic cells that have just been altered and arranged into basically these machines so that the cells, they behave totally differently than the original cells that they're made up of, but they're still cells, you know, animal cells.
Right. So, and when we say machine, what are they building, gears out of this thing or?
Well, not exactly. They're more sort of programming them genetically, but they're,
seems safe.
They're like nanobots just right. Made out of like cells rather than, you know, silicon or whatever. Which is, I don't know, every sentence in the article I read is kind of dystopian.
Yeah, scary. Every sentence is the first sentence of a new sci-fi novel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like the concept is actually particularly scary, but, you know, it does raise questions about, like, what can we do to people with programmable living nanobots, you know? Could you make weapons with this? Could you?
Yes.
Could it become an out of control gray goo scenario? Like, it's unclear.
Yeah, I mean, they'd probably have to go out of their way to do it. You know, a lot of people say this stuff about AI. You know, oh, sure, AI, as soon as we create it, it's going to go wild and be all, not really. Not if you created your AI to run your vacuum. It will probably never get more creative than running your vacuum, you know, because that's what it was made to do, you know. Sure, if you gave it millions of, I don't know, you know, but I wonder if a stamina and interest in this is, as much as I said I wasn't going to discuss again, this coronavirus vaccine, the way that it works is different than every other vaccine, and they're now saying that we can probably, we've always ignored it, and it was really only used in other countries for specific diseases like emergency situations. But now that we've gone through all this, we now have a new tool in our toolbox that we might start having the options of getting yearly shots to cure the common cold. You know, the coronavirus is a cold, and we figured out how to create it for the common cold. The one thing we haven't been able to do for a long time, or at least the money wasn't in. So, you know, I wonder what history is going to look back on this as, or if there'll be a history
back on. It's interesting. I feel like the most exciting, like, revolutionary things I've heard science-wise in the last 10 years have all been related to, like, the biological sciences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, evolution. Evolution for humanity is over. You know, all evolution moving forward will be technological. It'll be transhumanism. It'll be that stuff. I mean, we will move faster than evolution does from here on out.
Well, sure. I mean, that's not hard. We move on the scale of centuries, not, you know.
Right. Well, now we're going to be working on the scales of decades, if not less, you know.
So I hope so.
Yeah. And then finally, anybody who's watching the video can see behind me that I'm a nerd and I collect toys. And
indeed, that news So article was for you, Chauncey.
Yeah, Transformers toys specifically. And I have a lot of interest in Legos. I've thought about buying some, and every time I go to toy store, Walmart, Target, and stuff like that, I end up like walking down the Lego aisle, and there's some like Transformers stuff, and I'm like, man, I should buy one of these, and I'm like, holy crap, this is expensive.
Right. Yeah. So there's actually a Lego black market now of like rare Legos that the company doesn't produce anymore, but you know, collectors still want. So,
do you have a website? Where can I get in touch with this to get some cheap Legos?
I don't know. Go on the dark web, and you know, between the listings for like prostitutes and heroin, it'll be, you know, Lego sets.
Luckily, I have both of those bookmarked.
Yeah, I
don't even know what the dark web is. I mean, I know what the dark web is, but I've never been to anything that even could be considered the dark
web
in my life.
Yeah. I don't
have any
really
special browser. I mean, I have the Tor browser. I guess I could do it with that, but I use that more for marketing, and I don't even do that anymore, so.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, there are thieves out there, you know, supply and demand. They're meeting the demand by stealing Legos.
I wonder if I should leave my dog in my office here to sleep to protect my toys now.
I mean, do you have any rare Legos?
No, but I got rare Transformers.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't announce that on the radio.
I mean, they're all totally worthless. These are cardboard.
Yeah, okay.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Coming up is, I don't know, stick around. This is Radio Wasteland.
Hey, Redding, guess what? Our dining room at Black Bear Diner is open again, and we're bringing chili back. That's right. Come dine in comfort inside of our Hilltop Drive location. And special for March, ask for a bowl or cup of our delicious homemade chili, or try one of our new chili creations, a chili stuffed breakfast burrito, a chili cheddar cheeseburger, or for dinner, our tri-tip chili platter. Come dine inside or order for takeout at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series No. 2, crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf. Espiritu No. 2 produces a harmonious, medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu No. 2 today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. Our guest tonight is Kenny Biddle. Now, Kenny, you know, just to talk a little bit about you, you are a skeptic, you know, and that's kind of the angle that Kara and I come from. We got a lot of wacky concepts on, and, you know,
very few skeptic guests on. We mostly talk to people who are hardcore into whatever it is, and we tend to be the skeptical ones, so this is like –
Oh.
Territory.
This is a little change for you then.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. We're actually going to probably agree a lot tonight.
Yeah, then. We're just going to commiserate about the paranormal community. This is just going to be an hour-long bitch session about it.
I'm used to it.
That's not true. But
both of us came into this loving this stuff, you know, but being skeptical. And while we are both skeptical, that's not really the premise of what we do. You know, what made you say, hey, I'm going to go at this from a skeptic angle? And obviously you had some long-term interest in it outside of that, or did you just find out about it and go, well, I'm going to go in there and tell these people they're dumb?
You know,
we don't debunk anything, but it sounds like you do. So,
right.
So first I'll address that. Debunking, from my perspective, debunking is always just the result of an investigation. It's not my purpose. That's not what I actually go out and intend to do. Yeah. It's just the result of most of my investigations. But going back to the beginning, I started out as a ghost hunter. As you said, like I had a love for this. I've always had a love for this. I grew up with In Search Of and Unsolved Mysteries, those kind of shows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we used to sit cross-legged on the floor, you know, waiting for 8 o'clock to come around so we could actually watch the show, you know, long before you could just watch it whenever you wanted to.
And it seems like your love of this stuff went further back, because if I am not mistaken, that's a Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, and that's the Mystery Machine. That's a ghost from Pac-Man.
What? Look at you picking up our own background. Yes.
You know, there's quite a bit of paranormal early before we knew what paranormal was. Paranormal love, you know.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo. I'm a big fan of the whole gang.
Oh, awesome.
So,
yeah.
They were the original ghost hunters. You know, they solved the mysteries, and that's what I build my philosophy on.
Yeah.
To solve the mysteries. But yes, I grew up with that, and once this new thing called the internet came along, I got online, my wife and I got married, and our gift to ourselves was a computer that could get on the internet, which was great. It had like, I think it had like 8 megabytes of storage.
Right.
That's how far back we're going. But I looked up ghost hunting teams. I found one in my local area. I joined up and went out with them. We went to cemeteries and houses and all kinds of stuff. And I was full on into it. I thought everything we got was real, like these weird lights and pictures and video and the strange sounds. I thought it was all good until I really started looking at other teams and realizing that this stuff, this evidence, in quotes, that is supposed to be so rare, everybody's freaking getting it. Everybody is. So something was wrong. Either we were doing something wrong, or it's not as, you know, rare as everyone says it is. So the more I looked into it, I actually leaned towards photography more, and got into studying photography, learning everything I could about it, started really deconstructing photographs, figuring out how they were being done. And most of the time they were by mistake. It was just basic operator error. Mm-hmm. And the more I learned about that, the more I realized, okay, what other claims have I been following all of these years that I thought were real? What was I mistaken about? And the great thing, I think, for me, the gateway into skepticism was more or less turning the camera back onto myself and seeing what I was doing wrong. And because I always had that philosophy, and it's a common thing with ghost hunters, about science doesn't know everything, and science just hasn't caught up to it yet. And I wondered why. Like, what's the reason? Did they really catch up, or haven't they? What's the deal? And that's when I actually discovered Skeptical Inquirer magazine and the work of like Benjamin Radford and Joe Nickel. Started reading their work and was like, holy crap. I was doing so much wrong, so much. And I slowly but surely did a 180 and turned my beliefs around, actually turned them in and said, you know what? I'm not just going to have beliefs anymore. I'll have ideas. And for me, that's easier to change an idea, with more evidence, better evidence, more information. So that's pretty much my backstory. And here I am today. I started a blog. I started a YouTube channel where I just started putting my own stuff out there, and it got recognized enough where Barry Carr, who is the director of Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. He reached out and offered me a column for Skeptical Inquirer, so I write a column online for them. Mm-hmm. I've done a couple conferences, the PsyCon conferences out in Vegas. I've hosted workshops on solving mysteries and deconstructing photographs and video. I've done a lot of the skeptical and humanist groups around the tri-state area. I'm in Philadelphia, so Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, sometimes Delaware. Just teaching people how to go about solving mysteries, at least how I do it, because my way is not perfect. I don't always solve it, but I do pretty good.
You know, this is probably something you run into a lot. I kind of got stuck on something you said, which is that science doesn't know or hasn't caught up with it yet. And I think we all understood that at one point, but now in the present climate of this world, pandemic, the president, so on and so forth, everybody has this sort of love-hate thing going on with science. And, you know, I would like to remind people, because you turning to photography is turning to a science.
Yes.
That while science may not know everything, they do know the things that they claim to know. You know, they'll never know everything, because there's always more. But they also, you know, tend to be pretty strict when it comes to coming up with what science is going to be. And, you know, so like you turn to photography to start to question your own things, mm-hmm. which is a science in itself. You know, do you find that there's a lot of people going like, as you are investigating these things, sort of mocking your use of science to do this?
Mocking my use of science?
Well, in this day and age, a lot of people have this sort of, oh, but science, oh, but this. Oh,
yeah.
Well,
I think your own belief system.
Like, are they discarding this, your methods ever?
Yes.
Because you're just putting your faith in another religion, as I am.
Okay, yes. Right. I understand it better. Yes. So I do come across this a lot, where if I start offering explanations for things, alternative explanations, which when you're talking about paranormal claims, when I say alternative explanations, usually mean logical ones, as opposed to faith-based or metaphysical ones. When I start dishing out these explanations, I'm usually met, not always. There are a lot more. I think many in the community, the paranormal community, are more on the fence now. But there are still a lot that are just diehard believers. And once I mention science or critical thinking or logic or reason, then it's they immediately have a bias. They don't want to listen to me anymore. It's no, your science doesn't know everything. You can't explain everything.
Right.
And my response, immediate response, as soon as I see that opening is, absolutely, people in science already know that. We're well ahead of you on that point. We know it. That's why we keep looking.
All right.
That's why we keep exploring. That's why, like, if this is taking place, if this hypothetical situation is taking place at a paranormal event, that is why I'm here. Because if I didn't believe it, if I thought science knew everything, there'd be no reason for me to show up at a ghost hunt or a Bigfoot hunt or a UFO sighting. There's no reason. But I'm looking for what's going on. So if they want to deny science, it's up to them. You know, they can do that. That's their right. But if you're going to preach something different, like metaphysical stuff or pseudoscience to the public or anyone that's listening, you damn well better be prepared, because I'm going to fight you on that.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not going to just stand there and be like, oh, well, you know, this is your event or whatever. No. If you're telling people the wrong thing, and
a lot of the time, I feel people lose that, because it's like selling me a religion. There's a lot of religions on the planet. I'm not going to buy them all, you know, and I have that problem too. Sorry, you were saying, to your credit.
To my credit, if I'm going back and forth, if there's a confrontation on some kind of topic, I can usually back up what I say. I can either demonstrate
it is science.
Yes, it is science. It's demonstrable.
It's the nice thing about science, yeah.
Yes, as opposed to the metaphysical explanation, where you cannot duplicate it.
Right.
So, you know, when we lock horns, I'm going to win.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR. Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
Listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
How do you show up to these things? I mean, you know, magic portal, obviously.
Yeah.
Do they invite you? And when they invite you, are you like invited as the foil?
Yeah.
Really?
Believe
they're,
it or not,
they're
yeah.
just all okay.
I do get invited to several. There's a couple events that are coming up that I was invited to, mm-hmm. and they are paranormal events. And the reason that I get invited, and this is what I think, is because I'm not a jerk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, right. if someone let me rephrase that. I'm usually not a jerk about it. There are extreme cases when I am, and I think it's called for. But most of the time, I try to talk to somebody instead of saying you're wrong. I try to say something like, well, have you ever considered this? Let's go with this idea. Let's talk about this. Or I ask them, what else do you think might cause this? You know, let's not talk about ghosts, but what other thing might cause this weird activity that's going on? What do you think? And let's talk about it.
So you're diplomatic about it.
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
Yeah,
and I think that approach is good because if you're not – if I'm always confrontational, then I am that stereotypical skeptic that they think I am.
Right.
And it's not going to invoke the backfire effect in them where they just stand their ground. If you come off aggressive, if you come off as angry or I know everything and you don't and I'm going to school you, they're not going to listen to me. And they're just going to go on doing what they're doing and – probably even worse is that they're going to tell other people how much of a jerk that I was.
Right.
and that's just going to spread. I'm lucky enough to have interacted with so many people in this community that they've actually come to my defense sometimes, which is really, it's nice. It's nice to see. It's always funny. It's a fun joke. Like, oh my God, ghost hunters are defending a skeptic. What's up with that?
Yeah, but I mean,
but I've done the same thing for
as
that.
As long as nice conversations are happening. I mean, yes. Who cares what people do as long as they're nice.
Yes, exactly. And right. I think that's the golden rule. Patrick Swayze said it best. Be nice. That's it.
In Roadhouse?
Yes. Oh my there you God. Go. That's the golden rule there. Be nice until it's time not to be nice.
Right.
That's
okay.
It.
Okay. So I've been holding off on this question in order to build dissonance and drama, because I'm sure that anybody listening to this is what they want to hear.
Uh-oh.
Do you – okay. So you were a ghost hunter. You followed the ghost hunting.
I did.
You turned inwards. Yeah. Do you still believe in any of this stuff?
I do not.
You think that ghosts are not real?
That's my idea right now, that ghosts do not exist, that demons do not exist, that Bigfoot does not exist, that aliens have not visited us yet. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping one day in my lifetime that it happens, but
yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't think so, because so far the data that is available to us has not shown otherwise. It's not conclusive. It's not concrete. It has not shown a definite thing. Unfortunately, the vast majority, if not all, of the data presented by ghost hunters for an afterlife is completely invalid. And that's because of no controls, no method, no good methodology. They don't review. They don't have professionals review the results, much less a third party. There is no peer review. So there's a lot of flaws with that. So, yeah, the data that they present, unfortunately, is just completely invalid.
Can you give us some examples of, like, I imagine you have tons of examples of, like, sloppy methodology or just some of the stuff you found with ghost hunting that sort of made you think, this method is bunk, you know?
They use – one of the big thing is that they use a what's called a ghost box. And this is basically it's a broken radio. It's a modified radio. I call it a broken radio because that's what the first ones were.
It's a hear-what-you-want-to-hear machine.
Yes. Yeah. You know, when you turn on old school people, and I'm going to say, like Chauncey, I think old school people like us, we remember the dial radios, you know, in the car. You know, you go back and try to tune in the station.
Transistor.
That's exactly what these ghost boxers are doing. They're just sweeping through the stations. You're getting terrestrial broadcasts. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It was designed to pick up radio signals. That's what it's doing.
It was designed to pick up radio signals and filter out all but the other ones. So those other ones are actually in there on some level.
Yes.
We're just attuning, you know, the one in that we want, but those other ones are floating in the background, you know.
And I mean, it's designed to bring us music and news and commercials about everything and sports. And when you talk about commercials, you're talking about anything can be named. Names, places, furniture, events, dates, numbers, all kinds of stuff. So when you're listening to a radio sweeping through the channels and you ask the same question 5 times in a row waiting for an answer that you want to hear, I guarantee you're going to hear it.
Oh, totally. Plus, I don't know what goes on the radio where you're from, but 30% of the radio stations around here are about Jesus, frankly. So when you start filtering that in with everything you talk about, you got a baseball player, he's finally coming home, and you got these people talking about, you know, and it's like you put all that together, scatter it together. I think you're left with a limited vocabulary that will definitely lend itself to,
right?
You know, what you're kind of looking
for. When you start asking questions like "What's your name?" or "How did you die?" and even that, I mean, that alone is an example. That's an example by itself because. Mm-hmm. It's asking questions to a radio station, and you can do the same thing by sitting in front of your television during the news. Ask all these EVP questions, you know, what's your name? When did you die? What did you die of? Ask all them questions during the news, and I guarantee you're going to get answers that fit your questions. It's just, I guarantee it. Besides that, though, one of the behaviors that I've seen is that the ghost hunters will ask a question such as, when did you die? Like, they're asking when, like a date or a time or something like that. Mm-hmm. And if they hear a word saying stairs, the conversation immediately changes. It didn't answer their question because right. that's not a date or a time. But they, the answer that they got was stairs. So now the questions change to, oh, did you fall down the stairs? Right. Is that how you died? That's what I see with these conversations. They're one-sided conversations, but
like
the radio.
Like cold reading nobody.
Yes. Yeah, you're cold reading radio stations.
Right.
All of them.
Right, yeah.
Like all of them. And in the Philly area, I'm in Philadelphia, so we have tons of radio stations. Yeah. Tons of all different, I mean, you can get anything you want out here. And it's just ridiculous when you, I almost feel bad when I see a group of people sitting in the dark talking to a radio and they think that they're talking to somebody from the afterlife. I honestly feel sorry for them because I guess they need it so bad that they're willing to just ignore.
Well, logic. You identify on some level. You were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chasing that dream or that interest. So it's not necessarily right. that toxic, but I do got to ask you. Okay. So somewhere behind you, I'm guessing there is, something having to do with the black hole from Disney. And I loved that movie growing up. And, you know, it's like black holes, portals, space. Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. And then later in life, I find out about Hawking radiation and that everything that goes into a black hole comes out the exact same amount as Hawking radiation. And nothing is converted. It's basically just broken down into its smallest parts of nothing, and there's nothing there. There is no white hole on the other side of a black hole. It's very disappointing. Did you find a moment when you switched where you're just all like, I don't know, disillusioned?
I don't think so.
Like kind of lost something you loved, and you're all like, I mean.
No.
Are you that person now who quits smoking and feels the need to tell everybody else to quit smoking because you're so much better now? I guess it's
No. I think I just swapped out an interest. It went from believing and looking, doing these ghost hunts where I was looking for ghosts because I was already convinced. I was convinced that the place we were going was haunted. There were ghosts there. No doubt about it. That was it. So I was going in there and every shadow, every little noise, creak of the floorboards, that was a ghost. So I swapped that out with the mystery, you know, now solving the mystery, the Scooby-Doo effect. That's what I call it. Solving the mystery is what gives me that thrill. Mm-hmm. You know, whether the end result, which it hasn't yet, but if the end result happens to be a ghost, awesome. You know, because that's a breakthrough. That's paradigm shifting right there.
No, totally.
But solving a mystery, like figuring out what was causing this activity or what was how this photograph was created, to me, that's awesome. That's a great feeling. That's better than when I thought I had an EVP or a ghost photo. I get more of a high from it.
Oh, I get what you're saying. I mean, this side of the story at least yields results. You know, the other one's a constant search for nothing. You know, now every once in a while you're all, oh, well, it was obviously Curly from the Globetrotters dressed up as the monster and we're fine. You know, there's like an answer to the thing. And I get that. And I do like that. For me, a lot of this stuff is I like to go on the imagination roller coaster. And they tell me their story, and sometimes it's wacky, and sometimes by the end of the story, I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, I'm always on board with maybe, you know.
Hi. Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. As we grow our landscape lineup, we invite you to come see what we have done to bring you a high-quality selection for all your projects. Take advantage of our ever-growing selection of small rental equipment to help transform your yard, like a track machine trencher, rototillers, sod cutters, fiber plates, sod rollers, and so much more. Get the lawn you want this year using our Bolero Plus Sod by Delta Bluegrass and pair that with our Jumpstart Fertilizer to give it the boost it needs to thrive. Lauk's Landscape Supply is home of the U-Cart Concrete, where we have a large fleet of concrete trailers to help get the job done right and on time. Call and reserve yours today at 378-2220. You pick up or we deliver, where no load is too big or too small. At Lauk's Landscape Supply, we have several different size trucks to accommodate your needs with fast and efficient delivery to your job site. We have a dedicated staff ready to walk you through your next project, so just give us a call at 378-2220. Check us out on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com, or just come see us 7 days a week at the intersection of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road, and tell your friends.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. And you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. At Powerhouse Solar, we are an elite dealer for SunPower, and we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels. A lot of people don't realize they have options now. You can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar with financing. So keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. And the entire system is backed by their 25-year warranty. Powerhouse Solar can design a system for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com. Again, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit us online at powerhousesolar.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
So all these investigators were trained by Houdini to what to look for. So they would go in, find out what was going on, take notes, report back to Houdini, who, when he would start his show in that town, would do all of the psychic medium tricks.
Wow, that's
I love it. So his chief investigator was Rose Mackenberg.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Rose Mackenberg was amazing. She was the most famous investigator he had. There was articles written about her. She wrote daily articles herself after Houdini passed away, just explaining some of the things that she did and showcasing some of the disguises that she did. When she passed away, I did find out that she passed away in a hospital. She was suffering from some illnesses. I don't really want to get into the personal details, but sure. She passed away, and I don't know where she's buried. So I've been looking for several years. It took me 2 years to get a copy of her death certificate from the state of New York. And I got that. And unfortunately, they have the cemetery where they planned on burying her. And then they crossed it out and wrote a different cemetery, which does not exist. And has never existed. So this has been 4 years that I've been looking for her. And the reason is because many of us, me, Joe Nickel, especially Joe Nickel, because I've talked to him several times, and we want to go and visit the grave and pay our respects, because this woman, like, I've learned a couple things from her, and I'd really like to just go visit the grave.
Yeah, she's a titan of the industry.
Yes,
so to put
yes,
it.
Yeah. She is someone I look up to. You know, she is one of my mentors. Even though she passed away long before I was born, but I just cannot find her. I found her parents, so I know where her parents were buried, but there is no record anywhere of her. And she didn't have any children, and then her actual her family line kind of died out. So there's no one I can ask. Like, you know, hey, do you know where your great aunt is? There's no one. So I'm kind of stuck.
Interesting. Yeah, that's and interesting.
I did call the original cemetery and talk to the director there. I talked to the funeral home director that handled her service. I talked to the current director. And they're all very nice people. They all helped me try to understand what was going on. But it looks like I'm going to have to go to – there's two cemeteries that closely match what I'm looking for, and it's going to be a matter of driving 2 hours and just footwork. I'm just going to have to go aisle by aisle and look at every tombstone until I find her. So that's one of my – that's my great mystery. That is my wife.
It's a great mystery. It's a great mystery. I love it.
I'll be doing that for the next year or so, you know, just looking, taking trips up there when I can.
Well, we don't have too much more time here, but I do have a personal question that I want to ask you. You said that when you and your wife got married or moved in together, you bought the world's oldest computer that was new at the time, which implies to me that you guys have been together for a very long time. Can I ask how long you've been married?
We got married in 97.
That is a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I assume that she had the same interest that you did with ghost hunting
no.
and stuff like that. No.
I mean, she came out with me, and I think it's more because I am very OCD with my hobbies. And you can find me up here in my office pretty much like 2 or 3 hours a night, easy.
Plus, I live here.
This is my room.
Yeah.
This is it. We have a 3-bedroom home, and one of the bedroom is my office. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly up here doing podcasts or other stuff. So I think it was more or less she came with me on ghost hunts because I was going to go out and do them, and I spend so much time up here anyway. So it was more or less to spend time with me. And I get it.
My question was going to be, how did she take it when you changed? And did it take her a while, and did you guys change together? But I guess that changes my question, is when you changed, did she go, oh, thank God?
No, because I'm still obsessed with hobbies. Right. I still do it. But it's more fun. This has opened up a lot more opportunity. Like I said, I mentioned in the beginning, I've been able to do some conferences for PsyCon, which is Vegas. And it's nice because we never went to Vegas before. And the first time we did it was 5 years ago, I think, for the first conference they were holding in Vegas. And the reason we went was because James Randi was the guest of honor. And I had never met him in person. I really wanted to. I have all of his books, and I wanted to get autographs. And to be honest, it was like, I don't know how much longer he's going to be with us, because he was really getting up there. So we scraped and saved, and flew out there. We had a great time. And then the next 3 years, I was invited back.
Great.
So that was all expense paid, which is nice.
And I'm sure your wife was just all like, Vegas is nice, but can we go back to that crawl space?
No, I think she preferred the nice hotel room.
Mine would too.
Yeah. Casino, she loves to gamble, so she was totally about the gambling, and we had fun because we also got to visit Area 51. We went there. We drove to California. We met up with some friends of ours, which I had never been to California before, so that was one of my bucket list things, to see the Pacific Ocean. And I got to not only see it, but I ran into it, which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. So we're at the end here. You know, Where should we send people to? Skeptical Inquirer, that's where your column is, right? But where should we send people to find out more about you, who want to follow you, who want to know more about what you're doing?
So I'm all over the place. So, yeah, you can go to skepticalinquirer.org, and you can look up A Closer Look, or my name, Kenny Biddle. My articles will pop up. On Facebook, you can find me at I Am Kenny Biddle. That's my blog page. Mm-hmm. Where I do a lot of stuff. On YouTube, you can find me at Kenny Biddle. You just put in my name and my channel pops up. I'm on Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff too, but those are my main places that I post. Skeptical Inquirer, YouTube, and Facebook. So my YouTube channel. And I also do Friday nights, every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, I do the Skeptical Help Bar, which is a 2-hour live stream Q&A. Where you can come on and ask me any kind of paranormal questions. Yep. And we drink and we talk paranormal stuff. So sounds it's fun. And then Saturday nights at 8 p.m., I also do another show called Three Tortured Souls. And it's basically the same, but with two other guys, Dave Schumacher and Tim Vickers. And we pick a topic every week and we analyze it and we really get in. We do a deep dive and look at it. But we're not mean. Again, we discuss it and we discuss possibilities and stuff like that. We've come up with some great stuff. We actually did an experiment based on one of our shows, about weeping statues and like the history of weeping statues and bleeding statues. And we challenged ourselves to make them.
Oh.
And I did. I actually turned this Precious Moment statue into a weeping statue. You can see the glossiness.
You're right.
But for a week straight, this thing actually cried olive oil. love your face, Karen.
It's creepy and terrifying to begin with. You
can actually see, I think you can see it's shiny down there.
Yeah.
Right there. It's still leaking.
Amazing.
But yeah, that took 2 weeks to actually make it happen. And then it was fascinating when it did.
Yeah, so. That's crazy. And I also got to throw in that Vickers, Biddle, and Schumacher sounds like a awesome 60s jazz trio if ever you guys need to go somewhere else.
I'll keep that in mind if we get bored.
Sounds like the backup band for Duke Ellington or something. All right, well, you've been listening to Radio Wasteland. Our guest has been Kenny Biddle. This has been a lot of fun, totally interesting, enlightening, and, kind of... You know, something that I hope our audience likes because, you know, Karen and I, we have no hiding that we're skeptical. We like to hear the stories and there's two sides to it, obviously. So, find out more about Kenny Biddle and get more of the skeptical side.
There you go.
And thank you for being on the show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.